I've got the next best thing.
Some are calling it the recession indicator.
Buy now, pay later.
Buy now, pay later.
Eat now, pay later.
An alternative to credit cards.
DoorDash and the buy now, pay later company, Klarna.
Affirm.
Sezzle.
And Afterpay
are partnering up to allow you to break up your payments on your delivery order or even defer until payday.
So, what is this?
When it comes to these larger buy now, pay later services, you know, with the kind of data-driven kind of risk profiles that they have, they can kind of account for people not paying them off and or disappearing or whatever. It's like a loss-leading kind of thing that doesn't matter as much. And so what's more important for them is just to have as many people using them as possible. And so having no regulations about who can access them has kind of been key to their success in many ways. But it's not careless, it's strategy. This is their strategy.
This is Steve Threadgold, a sociologist at the University of Newcastle. You'll see more of him in a second. With all the news about buy now, pay later apps, we wanted to dive into this topic and ask him a few questions. Because to us here at Second Thought, it feels like a huge market for short-term, mostly unregulated loans from random fintech companies came out of nowhere and took over retail practically overnight. There are so many of these things now. Even banks are doing their own four easy payments thing. And with Klarna's IPO in the billions, with a B, it's clear this thing that's newish to us is actually a huge chunk of the economy. An economy in which consumer prices are going up because of things like tariffs.
Reciprocal tariffs.
Which is definitely a little worrying when you put those two things together. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. What exactly are buy now, pay later apps?
Buy now, pay later firms have boomed over the last 3 years.
Loans like this are approved in seconds and you get the money immediately for the item you're buying.
So you purchase the ticket without paying the full amount up front and split it into smaller payments.
They're the Klarnas, Afterpays, Affirms, no interest, four easy payment apps you'll sometimes see at checkout. Something like 90 million people, about one in four Americans, have used one of these in the last year. And with brand integrations like with DoorDash and a bunch of retailers, it's likely that number's only going to grow. One estimate predicts that in 2025, over $80 billion will be spent on these apps. Is that a good thing? I mean, according to these companies, yeah. They're here to deliver financial wellness and make things simple. They're flexible, smart, convenient, flexible, flexible again. This one's also doing financial wellness. Oh, and it's flexible too. That's good. But what are these apps really?
Buy now, pay later apps are a relatively new form of financial technology, what we call fintech. Sometimes it's like four payments once a week over 4 weeks or four payments, you know, a fortnight or whatever. And then you pay it off. What you're essentially doing with the form of fintech is you're going into debt with these people. One of the things that the buy now, pay later services have done really well is totally avoid the notion of debt when they promote themselves. They fairly consistently promote themselves as a way to pay.
And nothing more. They are a convenience. They're not a bank. They're not serious, dark blue, dark red establishments. They're lowercase. They're mint green, light pink apps. They're cool and fun and hip, and they won't take advantage of you or ruin your life. They don't even want you to spend irresponsibly.
We're actually all about responsible spending. We never want to lend to people that can't pay us back. We don't want you overspending or buying something you can't afford. Whichever flexible option you choose.
And that's all good. But is it true? No. I mean, maybe. We don't exactly know. We know how these apps work, technically, but not with a ton of detail. Like, to turn a profit, these apps do a few things that we know of. Pretty predictably, they are middlemen who take a cut from both sides of the transaction. They get a commission from the seller, and if you miss a payment, you'll get hit with a late fee.
If you pay off the debt on time, it doesn't cost you anything extra. But if you miss a payment, if you're late, they charge you fees, late fees. So unlike credit cards, they're not charging you interest rates. It's normally like 10 bucks or 20 bucks or something. But the research has shown that missing payments is essentially the equivalent of big interest rate payments anyway. They also charge the vendor. So the vendor pays 1-3% or whatever they negotiate with these services. And then it's up to the vendor to decide whether to pass that increased cost on to the consumer.
But that's not all. You probably saw this coming, but another chunk of this business is happening behind the scenes.
The other thing that happens here as well is that these apps obviously create a lot of data, and the data itself is a commodity that they buy and sell and, you know, package up and use for different purposes and sell to different data cartels and stuff like that as well.
What's the balance of these things in their final numbers? I have no idea. These BNPL companies aren't regulated very well, and we'll get to why in a second. But that means they don't report much to credit agencies. We don't know how much debt is on these apps, or how many people are defaulting, or how they make their money. Klarna's CEO says that only about 4% of users are charged a late fee, but a survey done by Bloomberg found that number was as high as 43%. So, who knows? But in any case, when you're part of that group, regardless of how big it really is, there can be some pretty dramatic consequences.
For the most part, young people are using these quite well and not really getting into a lot of trouble. That said, we do have some examples of people getting into lots of trouble. We had one participant, for instance, that ended up in about $70,000 debt spread across, to begin with, credit cards when she was in her teens, and then later into her 20s when Buy Now, Pay Later became a thing. She was using multiple versions of them. She signed up with her name. She signed up with her maiden name before she got married. She signed up through her husband's name. Then they had a bit of bad luck. The husband borrowed some money to buy a car. He lost his job. The car got repossessed. And then all of a sudden, they're kind of chasing their tail and getting debt collectors on them and stuff like that.
And cases like that aren't unusual. In another case, reported by Jacobin, a BNPL user had some problems getting to his account when he switched carriers. He tried to fix it by contacting customer support, but he found out that Klarna had replaced their customer service with AI, something the company is very proudly advertising, by the way. No one could help him get back in. Because he couldn't pay his debts, a couple $100, Klarna sold them off to debt collectors. And that tanked his credit score by about 300 points until his story hit the press and a real human got in touch. And you might be thinking, so what? And you know what? That's a fair question. Debt has always come with these risks. Credit cards have been around for decades, and credit card debt can be just as innocuous or devastating as this stuff. Here's the problem, though. These apps are just less legit, they're a little more predatory, and they are desperate to keep it that way. It's not that what's happening is new, it's that it's worse. Howdy friends, JT from the future here. I just wanted to take a quick second to do a shameless plug for Means TV, both because it's awesome and because being a dirty communist on YouTube is looking like more and more of a losing proposition. If you're not familiar with Means, it's a worker-owned cooperative and explicitly anti-capitalist streaming service. You can find everything from my videos to original series like Means Morning News to feature-length documentaries like Abby Martin's Gaza Fights for Freedom, with more amazing content being added every day. I've been working behind the scenes to help turn Means into a place that's both worthwhile for viewers as well as offering financial security for socialist creators in an increasingly reactionary political landscape. Every creator on the platform has a unique link that when anyone signs up using that link, that creator directly benefits from the subscription. I have mine in the description below, but if you really appreciate another creator's work, make sure to use their link instead. All of us at Means are trying really hard to build an alternative media ecosystem that is ideologically dedicated to sharing left-wing perspectives. With Means TV, we're able to say things the way they are. No pulling punches, no beating around the bush to trick the all-seeing eye of the algorithm. Means gives us the freedom to make the content we really want to make and say the things we really want to say. There's even a community forum where creators can engage with each other and fans right on the platform. As a little thank you for watching our channel, if you sign up with our link, or another creator's if you prefer, you can get your first month 20% off. Or for an even better deal, you can opt for the annual plan and get the whole year 20% off. A full year of Means TV will run you less than $90, which is like the cost of a single DoorDash meal these days. Every person who signs up using a creator's link is directly contributing to the financial stability of that channel and the entire cooperative media project. None of this would be possible without the generosity of viewers like you. Means TV is entirely grassroots funded, and it always will be. So if you'd like to help support our work, consider signing up for Means TV using the link below. It really does help the team here at Second Thought and dozens of principled socialist creators across the platform. Thanks for your support. All right, back to the video. Okay, so what makes these apps more dangerous? Well, for starters, getting a line of credit at a bank is just harder. These apps are predatory in the same way that mobile gambling apps can be. Not just because they're designed so that the house always wins.
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 But because it's just so easy to get into. And that's whether you're desperate for cash or just curious about the convenience factor. They've largely removed things like credit checks and even the most basic safeguards like checking you are who you say you are or having you show up somewhere in person, meaning they can grow pretty recklessly.
They're very easy to get. We have evidence in some of our research of young people signing up to multiple versions of these, using different names. It never really asks any real questions that or held to account about whether they can afford to kind of use these things.
But that's just step one. Once you're in, they are also very good at keeping you on the app and encouraging you to spend beyond your means with a bunch of little tricks.
A lot of kind of, you know, platform app spaces are gamified and they use gimmicks in various ways. Firstly, you know, the Buy Now Pay Later apps tend to have a limit of spending, say it's $1,000. But if you pay, you know, first three things you buy, if you pay them off on time, you get rewarded, in inverted commas, with an increased limit. So it'll go from $1,000 to say $1,500 or $2,000. And that often happens even if you don't ask for it, right? So you might actually want the $1,000 limit because you think it's a kind of good form of discipline for you. You don't want to go beyond that, but like it'll just be increased anyway. And so this is very much like a game, you know, like you're being rewarded there, you know, for completing some tasks, like, you know, many games. They'll incorporate like things that feel a bit like Pinterest or feel a bit like Spotify. I think Afterpay is the one that for a while there at the end of the year was like doing its own version of Spotify Wrapped, where it would kind of put up all the things you bought and say, hey, remember when you bought this and what about that? And these are the things you bought most this year. And like, maybe you should think about buying something else like this in the future, right? Our research participants are often quite ambivalent and sus about this.
I'm sure you've seen this before. It's manipulative, but it's also kind of obvious. Even with the four easy payments thing, you can feel yourself being tricked into believing you're spending less when you know you aren't. We're not stupid. Every company and advertiser does this. But it is icky. The part that's more straightforwardly messed up, though, is the political and economic side of things. For one thing, these apps aren't regulated like credit cards. And they're fighting tooth and nail to make sure they won't be. With banks and credit card companies, there are things there that protect you from being screwed over. Policies like the Truth in Lending Act guarantees your right to dispute charges, get a refund, get clear information about the terms of your credit card loans, and what fees you'll be charged for a late payment. Basic stuff that makes sure banks can't just do whatever, and which is so normal we just expect it from every financial service. Basic things that would protect you from having your credit score drop 300 points over a technicality. That doesn't apply here. These apps don't want you to think of their four easy payments as loans or credit or debt, which is what they are. They want you to think they're a service. And if convincing you works, their hope is that it'll trick the government too. Except last year, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection whatever, started looking into these companies and making sure they would follow something like the Truth in Lending Act. In response, the FTA, a lobbying group that represents Klarna and all these other companies, spent over $210,000 on politicians like this guy to block these laws that apply to credit cards from applying to them too. Klarna on its own spent $570,000 on top of that. And to seal the deal, the FTA even filed a lawsuit against the CFPB. And all this pressure is kind of working. Earlier this year, the Trump admin, with the support of tech oligarchs like Musk and Bezos, targeted the CFPB, defanging the agency so that these sorts of consumer protection rules that apply to credit cards wouldn't even be enforced.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has been shut down by President Trump, at least for this week and possibly much longer, perhaps permanently.
Over the past few days, the Bureau's headquarters was closed and employees have been ordered to stop working.
Trump has said he wants to eliminate the CFPB because of waste, fraud, and abuse, although no evidence of those allegations has been offered.
There's no consumer protection left, really. There's only what these apps can get away with from a PR standpoint. And all this matters because of where we are right now. We're in a cost of living crisis. housing, education, healthcare, and increasingly consumer goods too, are just straight up unaffordable. We're underpaid, underemployed, overcharged, and exploited. And instead of our politicians responding with wealth redistribution, increasing unionization, raising the minimum wage, or putting caps on food, shelter, and care, they've gone all in on letting these extractive companies put us in debt and charge us little convenience fees along the way.
We're constantly like paying these kind of small fees off all the time. So everyday life in this sense has been increasingly financialized, and fintech is key to that. We all now have our banking apps, our buy now, pay later apps. People are doing crypto and buying shares and gambling, and rental properties now are often like paid for through apps. And you know, you have to pay a little service fee for that.
Capitalism is a cruel system. Not intentionally, it's just the consequences of the inherent logic of capitalism. And these apps are part of the infrastructure making us cruel promises. Apps like these promise us they'll deliver the good life, which, with how everything's been going, really just means a decent, normal life. Buying clothes and food and paying rent, going to school, stuff that's not a lot to ask and could be accessible to all if we didn't have billionaires. These apps not only reinforce that drive to consume, but they give us access to that promise with an asterisk. The problem is, it's now impossible to achieve that any other way. Worse even, by getting the good life through this predatory, exploitative debt, we make the alternative even more impossible. These apps are turning a profit and are actively using the money they're siphoning off from us to build a deregulated, empty shell of a government that won't enforce a minimum standard of living. At the end of the day, they want to be the middlemen who can turn a quick buck off your desperation. What better, then, than to make sure as many people as possible are desperate and vulnerable? And while it's mostly for consumer goods today, the model they're building is working. And it's scary. Healthcare companies are doing buy now, pay later, too. Health insurance, run on AI without any credit checks, right as more and more people are paying out of pocket. Look, I don't know how to end this video. The first draft of this script was goofy, stupid little jokes about how these apps are foul little sex pests multiplying on our phones. But the more we sat with this topic, the more depressing it got, and the less that vibe felt right. Nowadays, financial security means juggling credit cards, student loans, eventually a mortgage, and soon enough, that list will include switching between two or three apps on your phone to deal with your healthcare and your groceries and your normal retail spending. We're all in debt already, and it's poisoning how we think about our future. What's it going to look like when every major corporation, financial institution, and branch of government makes that not just necessary, but actively riskier? I don't know. See you in 2 weeks for your next interest-free installment, I guess.